Hi, it's Mike.
And Dusty.
And we're here to say, we're on break. Every December, we take a hiatus to recharge, record, and get outside.
This year, we're headed to Iceland to wander and explore, and we couldn't be more excited.
We'll be back with new episodes on January 13th, where we will wrap up our time in Olympic National Park and head east toward Mount Rainier National Park.
In the meantime, be sure to check out our episode finder to discover some of your new favorite trails, hiking episodes, and trail mixes.
Click the link in our show notes, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make navigating our library of over 300 episodes so much easier.
Happy holidays and see you all in 2025. Looking for some new art inspired by the national parks? Then be sure to check out our online store, The Gaze Shop.
This season, as we explore the landscapes of Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Carlsbad Cavern National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park, we've got some new items and designs coming your way.
Introducing our Olympic National Park and Mount Rainier National Park posters. These 12 by 18 posters make a great addition to any home or office, or a great gift for any lover of the national parks, even if that national parks lover is you.
Whether it's art for your wall or a sticker for your water bottle, you're sure to find something that sparks your love of the outdoors. Visit shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com to bring some of the national parks home with you.
All right, so we were recently back from a trip to Iceland over the holidays.
We were. It was a part of a lovely trip that you put together. That included some time to hopefully see the Aurora Borealis.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's how the voiceover said it in the
Perlon Museum.
The Perlon Museum.
My name is Aurora.
That's right.
So that's if you've ever been, then you know that's the voice.
That's right. Uh-huh. The Perlon Museum, highly recommend starting there.
Absolutely. What a great view of the city from the observation deck. And a wonderful understanding of both geologic time and also history of Iceland.
I know. Look at this. You came for Rialto Beach. You got Iceland.
Yeah.
At the front of this episode. Yeah. So highly recommend. But that brings us to this morning because we got up at 5 a.m. this morning because
there was apparently going to be Aurora. This is 5 a.m. New Year's Eve when we're recording
in New Jersey.
This. New Jersey. Apparently very strong aurora.
In New Jersey.
In New Jersey. Because when we were in Iceland,
there was no aurora. Aurora canceled her show.
Aurora be gone.
she called out.
She had the flu.
And she stayed home. And yeah. So she did not come out.
We
and
were at a disadvantage of both. It snowed the entire time we were in Iceland, basically.
And full cloud coverage, like
except for the last
covering
day.
Like almost the entire island.
Uh-huh.
And if you have cloud coverage, you have no aurora.
Mm-hmm. Also, the solar weather was not good.
Oh, yeah. We didn't have a lot of solar.
The sun
weather.
Didn't fart enough.
That's
for
right.
Us.
That's how aurora is made. Like the sun releases a bit of like
mass corona ejection, I think is what it's called.
Look at that.
Buy a girl a drink first.
And that turns into Aurora Borealis. Mm-hmm. That's right. And
sorry.
That's why you have to go to the clinic after. So, yeah, we did not have any solar happenings at all.
No.
And so we were on a tour to basically get on a bus, and it was going to drive us to a really dark remote location in Iceland
and murder us.
where you could see the aurora. Mm-hmm. Well, and at the tour, we were there for five days. We were there. Our tour was on the second night and it got canceled, and then they let us rebook every other night we were there, and it got canceled every single night. Mm-hmm. That we were there.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, ugh,
yeah.
No aurora.
No.
So
when we found out that there was going to be aurora here in New Jersey, which there was
up.
In October.
There was.
I saw it. Dusty missed it, unfortunately.
Because I was inside.
We were like, okay, we're going to get up. Did we go to bed early last night? No. Did we get up at 4:45? Yes.
We did,
we
and
see
we
any
went
aurora?
To an overlook to see aurora, and she too
Canceled her show.
Canceled her show.
So, yeah.
So, no Aurora for us still. Mm-hmm. Well, you've seen it from your house. I still haven't seen it. My mom, who was with us on this trip, who, like, I planned this whole trip in hopes that we could see it. She saw it from her house in Alabama.
Yeah.
I still didn't see it. I still haven't seen Aurora. So.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Keep chasing her.
The mystery deepens.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national parks.
Father, you'll follow you there.
At the national parks. At the national parks. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while hiking and visiting Olympic National Park, that we are on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lower Elwha Tsklallam, Jamestown Tsklallam, Port Gamble Tsklallam, Skokomish, Quinault, Ho, Kulit, and Maka people. All right, so...
So we had just finished hiking Ho Rainforest.
Yes, this was a long day for us.
A very long day.
Part two of the long day.
Part two, that's right. Tune into the next episode to hear part three.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so... Episodes 127, 128, and 129 all happened in the same day.
Yeah.
So we're here in episode 128, and we just finished hiking in the Ho Rainforest, one of the reasons people go to Olympic National Park to see the temperate rainforest there.
You can hear all about our temperate rainforests and other types of rainforests in our trail mix titled Rainforests.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we finish exploring that mossy wonderland, and we make our way to our second stop of the day, which we knew was going to be not our longest adventure or our longest trek of this day, because Ho Rainforest is not a very long trek.
It can be if you do the Ho River Trail, but we didn't. Stuck to the smaller stuff.
So, yeah, we are headed to another shorty on this episode.
So just to recap a little bit, the day before we had moved from Port Angeles, which was our home base for 2 days, to Forks. And in between, you know, these moves, we did do some coastal hiking. And the first was a hike at Cape Flattery, which there was a lot to love there, including incredible boardwalk and beautiful overlooks. This was not on the shore, but on cliffs above the actual shoreline. And the second hike that we did was where we actually got to get on the beach, which was Shy Shy Beach, which was also wonderful. Tide pools, beautiful, misty, mysterious. It had everything.
We loved it. We loved it. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend. Now, prior to all of this hiking on this day, it was our fourth day in Olympic National Park. The night before, upon arriving in Forks after our laughable 10-mile rest day of hiking, we did start to plot out what would be the order of the things that we would do today.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've ever seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, there is a very famous meme that comes out of that of like, Charlie Day, like standing in front of a board, like connecting all of these clues. And that was Mike at this time working with
Tides.
Tide schedules.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a
master
watching someone
in anxiety
volunteer themselves to have stress, anxiety, and to be debilitated by all of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the moments where I was like, as your friend, I keep pointing out to you what's happening, but it's doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just was like, I think he has to fully spiral and, like, hit the bottom, and then I'll pick him up.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, that's sort of where it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were like, well, we could do this first and then we could go here and then we could go here. But if we did that, we would have to leave here at this time, which means breakfast would have to be this time and we would have to go to sleep in the next 15 minutes. And I was like, well, we still need to eat and we still have to do this and we still have to shower and like we're not technically ready to go to sleep yet. Well, then if we move it like this and we do it like and you spun out for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm.
You had to just let me tire out.
Oh, I had to let you tire out and get tired of being anxious about it.
Yes.
And then I was like, because, you know, I mean, my brain kind of works in a similar way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the other wrench in the plan, aside from tides, is that two of the spaces that we are going were and are incredibly popular spaces within the park. So Ho Rainforest is, as we discovered and as I knew from having been previously upon our exit, incredibly crowded. Like, if you're not there early, you're waiting in line to park. And the other snafu was...
And it is a two-way road. Yeah. There's one way in and one way out.
The other snafu is that the second location that we were going to, which was the first of our tide-dependent locations, was Rialto Beach, which is also an incredibly popular space within the park. So I was trying to have it all,
that's
as they
right.
say.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We can have it all.
Yeah. So you had seen all these spots in
yes.
2015.
I had,
you
yeah.
really wanted me to see
yeah.
them. I was like, I'm over here going like, listen, girl, like, I get it. I'm also not going to FOMO if we don't make it mm-hmm, to some of them. Mm-hmm. And you were like, no, we have to see.
Well, I also didn't get a chance to really explore Rialto to its fullest extent in 2015 because of the tides.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So the three pieces of the puzzle here were Ho Rainforest, Rialto Beach, and Ozette Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And what we were trying to figure out was, based on tide schedule, what made the most sense.
Sure.
Because we had to
operations.
Drive to three different places mm-hmm. and also drive time.
Yeah.
We did manage to make it work doing it in that order. Starting at Ho Rainforest at about 7 a.m.
I'll take my bow now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Take it, because mm-hmm. it made everything happen that day.
Yep. So it was about an hour of driving from Ho Rainforest to Rialto Beach. So again, something we had to factor in when we were thinking. This was the day I drove because I really wanted Dusty to have the experience of seeing kind of the majesty of the park. Sort of like when we went into Yosemite for the first time and I had previously been there. I was like, okay, I want you to be able to like be the passenger here so you don't have to worry about the road. So we are making our way out of Ho Rainforest, and the parking lot that we were in when it was very empty when we parked was completely jammed. And this was further underscored by a very, very long line of cars trying to get in to the entrance
yes.
station. And it's sort of like a one car out, one car in situation. They know how many spots are in that lot, so they're not letting more in than can go in.
It was a fairly easy drive from the Ho Rainforest over to Rialto Beach.
I was definitely anxious about making sure that we were able to park there because
there is very limited parking.
Yeah,
at Rialto
and I've
Beach.
Seen reports of like traffic being backed up. And summer is a peak season to go to the park, so it definitely would have been a problem if we weren't able to park. Not a problem, but we would have just had to skip it completely.
And as a reminder, something that was told to us all the time about Olympic National Park is that it is a lot of driving.
Mm-hmm.
A
mm-hmm.
lot.
That's
a lot,
probably
a lot,
the thing
lot.
We've said most
to
common
go from
in all these episodes.
One place to another, yeah. It's a lot in a long
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
So I did find it hilarious that we would see some of the same people
oh, yeah.
on the same trails almost every day. There was like this one family we saw almost every day in Olympic.
And this one guy,
in wildly
too.
Different
yeah.
spots
uh-huh.
of this park.
They were
on
the
same trails
that
we were on.
Yeah. So as you drive to Rialto Beach from Ho Rainforest, you pass right through Forks. If you were just leaving from Forks to go to the coast, it's only about a 22-minute drive. Again, you know, you're going to be really needing to calculate your drive time just for in general, regardless of tide timing. Most of the drive ended up being very forested, but about a mile or two from the beach, the forest starts to get a little denser and shadier.
As we drive, we're along the Quigayute River, and eventually we cross a decent estuary of the river with a fairly large-sized bridge that crosses it. As we continue to drive, the river opens up a little bit, almost into like a small sound. And this is where we start to see more toward the ocean. And as we continue to drive, this is also where a lot of the trees to our left start to fall away, and we have a pretty good view of the river, and it starts to flow out into the ocean.
The road is fairly narrow here, and it's just a two-lane road, but eventually the views do open up, and we are able to see more of the coastline and the sea stacks that look like, from our perspective at this point on the road, that they're going to be right at the end of the road.
So the view of the ocean gets a little obstructed by the trees again, but we're able to see the coast through everything and the river on the left of the roadway. As we get close to the terminal point here, which is going to be the parking lot of Rialto Beach, it is worth noting that there are three-ish lots for parking. The lot on the right is for day use only, and the lot on the left is for overnight camping, and this is a gravel lot. There is an overflow lot as well, but those spots are limited. I think that the most exciting thing about getting here when we did, which was around 11 a.m., is that there was no backup on this road at all, and there was plenty of parking for the most part.
Yeah.
And again, the parking lot for day visitors, it's not small. There are like... It's not like six parking spots.
No.
You could get probably 40 to 50 cars there.
Maybe.
Maybe, but...
It's not big either.
It's not big.
No.
But what's good about it is that people come, they go, they see, and they leave.
And well, some people... And there's different ways to access and investigate this area. And some people do just come and walk out on the mat and then turn around.
Yeah. Like... Some people only stay for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So as we're arriving, we took some time to figure out what we were bringing with us on this leg of our journey this day. So this was not going to be a terribly long hike, and we had fully had our packs when we were in Hoh Rainforest, which kind of felt like a little bit of overkill because the Hoh Rainforest trails were not that exhaustive. So this was sand hiking, and what we had wanted to do, if it was possible, was hike to the end of the beach, which was north from where we were, and go to a spot called Hole in the Wall. And that's about 3.3 miles of hiking there and back. So we opted for a very, very light load, which included just our boots and our water bottles and a camera. We did not take our bags with us. And
no.
It's not really necessary for you.
No.
You can definitely get by, especially if you like fuel up a little in the car ahead of time. And that's sort of what we did.
We both drank a bunch of water, had a snack or two, put on our cameras, and we began to make our way down to the little mat at the like end of the parking lot that would lead us on to the beach.
And with that, let's take our first break.
Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala. All in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails! During the months of November and December, we are highlighting the work of Native Like Water in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Founded over 24 years ago in San Diego, California, Native Like Water was launched to focus on and practice with indigenous sacred relationships to water. Native Like Water programs work towards solutions and sustainability of our life force. The organization prepares and reintegrates teens and and young adults into ocean recreation, conservation, wellness, and intergenerational cultural self-exploration.
With programming like Youth Native Scholars, YNS, and Intertribal Youth, ITY, Native Lake Water has helped to develop and implement academic, wellness, and cultural programs for Native American, Alaska Natives, and Native Hawaiians, as well as youth from various nations. Native Lake Water has programming which is open to a greater public, curating cultural experiences through an indigenous lens with a focus on cultural conservation and natural habitat.
Native Lake Water is committed to not only education, but also working to enrich the lives of others. Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help support Native Lake Water this November and December. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information or by visiting www.nativelakewater.org. All right, we're playing the vault. We pick a subject. You got to put three of those things in the vault. Everything else is destroyed forever. Okay, Mike, what topic are you choosing for the vault today? Oh, I'm going to pick one for you.
Great.
To do.
Thanks for asking me a question and then just doing it for me.
But I'm going to do one that is specific to you.
Okay.
Okay. You have to pick three Van Gogh paintings. Only three go in the vault.
Gosh,
the rest are gone.
Like I know him like the back of my hand. I don't feel like...
You know his work plenty.
Sure. You know his work plenty.
You do. You do.
I mean, not really, but I'll go for it. Well, I think you gotta kinda... You can't ignore Starry Night. That's one that definitely has to stay in the vaults. There's one that I love. I mean, he did so many self-portraits.
Mm-hmm.
There's one that I really love. It's a self-portrait after he has his ear bandaged, and it's like, it's probably called self-portrait with bandaged ear, but there's a few of them, and this one has a Japanese print in the background. Like, there's more depth to it. A lot of his self-portraits are...
I know the one you're talking about.
Very, like, flat backgrounds, but this one, he actually puts himself in a place, and I feel like that is really representative of the style that inspired a lot of the Impressionists and Post-Impressionists, which was... you know, the art, the printmaking of Japan. And I feel like it's, from a cultural perspective, it's a really important piece. And then I feel like there's the view of his bedroom, I think in Arles, I am saying mm-hmm. that wrong, Arles, that like it has this chair in it. It's a very well-known piece. And I feel like that is probably something that should be. Because I think having, you've got landscape, you have portrait, and then you have still life. And mm-hmm. so I feel like that's descriptive enough and gives like a sense of who he is as an artist. And I feel like that would be important. The other one is the irises, which mm-hmm. are like from a garden. And that's another beautiful one that I love. Or there's also the cherry blossom.
Yeah.
Which is like got a very unique background color. It's like a teal.
I would have put in sunflowers because seeing sunflowers. That one in real life was unreal to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Great.
So
that was specific to you.
It was. So let's get specific for you. Three Sondheim shows.
Oh my God. Three Sondheim shows. Okay. I think I already have the answer here.
Great.
Okay, well, the first one is Sunday in the Park with George
mm-hmm.
because that one I feel like just speaks to the artistic process.
Mm-hmm.
It is Sondheim's piece.
Love letter
to the artistic process. Mm-hmm. I'm only going to stick to shows that he wrote music and lyrics for.
Great.
Because otherwise I'd have to put Gypsy in.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to do that. So I don't have to put in Gypsy.
You don't have to include it as
I don't things. Have to include it.
Yeah.
That's the different thing. Because he collaborated on that one. Sweeney Todd.
Mm-hmm.
I have to put in Sweeney Todd. Because it's just so epic and perfect.
Because it's beautiful.
And it was virtuous. Yes.
And naive.
Correct. And then I mean, Into the Woods. Right. I can't
like, girl,
do this without Into
sweat
the
over
Woods.
Here.
Who out there could love you more than I?
Yep. Talk about, like, therapy.
Yep. God, that's not Stay With Me is
Whoo.
Woof. Yep. That's right.
Codependency, everybody.
Well, I think
say
like,
it with me.
As children or as adults, it's like it's important because you have to go like, am I in a stay with me moment?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is my parent doing that to me right mm-hmm. now? Or am I as a parent doing that to a child right mm-hmm. now? So yeah. Yeah, those are my answers. If I had an honorable mention, if I had one Sondheim honorable mention.
Company?
Oh, God, I love Company. I also love A Little Night Music. I also love Merrily, We Roll Along.
You get one.
And I also love Assassins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I have to put in Company because of being alive. That song just, that song is everything. That's the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that song?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Somebody hold me too close.
Great. So before somebody I turn into a weepy
mess.
Somebody teach
me to care. Mm-hmm. Somebody ruin my sleep.
Oh, yes, I
and
do.
And sit in yeah, my yeah, chair. Yeah, yeah. Make me aware of being alive. All right. There we go, everybody.
And that's the vault.
Being alive.
Mm-hmm. Still okay. Here.
Back to Rialto Beach.
Mm-hmm. And being alive.
Yep. Okay, so we are on the beach and seeing this beach for the first time, it is spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
You'd seen it before.
Mm-hmm. And it's always a wow. You know, it was a wow moment when I saw it the first time. The first time I saw it, it was very, very rough. The tide was coming in. And the waves were angry. And that was not the experience we got here.
No. This was a very calm beach day.
Mm-hmm.
The tide was very calm.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for looking into the schedule mm-hmm. as deeply as you did and with such care.
Yep.
So initially on the beach, we find some decent-sized stones and pebbles that, like, intermingle with the sand as we get by the water. Mm-hmm. Behind us and lining the beach are these very tall, towering trees. And along the high tide line, you get these, like, long, fallen, like, stripped-down trunks of trees that are basically just all driftwood now. And it's beautiful.
It's what?
And it was beautiful.
There we go.
It
always, you know, in the two times that I've been, always, it feels like they are discarded bones to me. Like some mammoth creature has died and decayed on this beach because that's what they look like. Because they are bleached white, most of them. And it's so impressive and so wild to see just the power of nature through this.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it is. And they're like white, like bone,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
like if they were a paint color, the paint color would probably be called like marrow or something like that.
Yeah. And a lot of them have lost their branches. So they just have these like nodules on them, like mm-hmm. where the branches were originally. And so they give like this very like vertebrates type mm-hmm. of feel. And I'm like, oh yeah. Yep. The vertebrae of giants.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It did feel like a graveyard of giants mm-hmm. here along the shoreline.
Yeah. They're not as big as redwoods or sequoias, but they are
big trees.
Big trees. Yeah. Yeah. And there are some that are still just standing upright, like, and dead.
That
and
are
white.
Dead. Yeah.
Also adding to the very ghostly feel of Rialto Beach. Yeah.
So from this parking lot, one can either head to the right or to the left along the beach. You know,
mm-hmm.
the beach is available for exploration in mm-hmm. either direction. Hole in the Wall is off to the right. If you were to head to the left, that would take you into an area which is Coulee Land, and so that is technically not National Park anymore. But if you head to the right, it does bring you toward Hole in the Wall.
So there is a small peninsula that does jut out at the mouth of the Quiayute River and Marina, and essentially right across from the tip of that is the Little James Islands and sea stacks that surround them. So that's sort of what, as we were driving in, what it looked like we were going to run into at the end of the road, but it's actually further to the left. From where we're standing at the edge of the path mat and the start of the beach, it almost looks like the peninsula that kind of is jutting out for the, like, that kind of blocks in the marina would allow you to travel to the Little James Islands on foot. But there is, in fact, no land bridge that appears there at low tide at any point. It is just a matter of perspective and a trick of perspective. And if you wanted to go to those islands, Little James Islands, you would need the permission from the Quileute people.
So the journey to the hole in the wall involves a 1.6-mile hike down the beach to the right.
When I was here, like I said, in 2015, the ocean was super rough, and I hadn't been as diligent or paranoid with the tides at this point. And I was only really able to walk about, you know, a quarter of the way down the beach. But after talking to a few people who were headed back from the north, where Hole in the Wall is, I decided not to go too far, which was the right call at the time. And the tides are nothing to mess around with here. Even when we were just in Iceland at one of the black sand beaches, the tides there are crazy, and the water there is crazy. So healthy fear of the ocean, everybody.
You do have a healthy fear of
the
ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But at this time, we'd hit the beach as the tide was rolling out to almost low tide. So we had plenty of time to just really meander and explore. Mm-hmm. And we did.
Mm-hmm.
So what were you feeling here in this moment, seeing that the beach is calm, we can walk out, we've got time?
It felt like home. You know, the beach is always a very big sense of home for me. Go ahead.
When I think of... Yeah.
Oh, no, I thought you were going to be like, what privilege you have for the beach to feel like home for you.
No.
I was waiting for that bar
out. I was singing Home from the Wiz. So, there you are.
But no, I just felt like it also, you know, there's something about sea air and like the negative ions there from the salt air that helped to shift a lot in your body. So I don't know, it just felt very comforting to see the ocean again. Not that we hadn't seen it the day before twice, but there's something about the beach, and especially the coastline here in Washington, although apparently Oregon's coastline, which I have not really hiked on, is much wilder and would be wonderful to see. What about you? What were you feeling?
I was thrilled. The day before, we had done such an epic day of hiking.
Yeah.
Because the day before we'd done Klahani.
No.
What did
the
we
day
done?
Before we did Shy Shy.
Oh, that's right.
Flattery.
That's right. Both of which were not that epic. But
still 10 miles.
Still 10 miles. But the day before that we'd done Klahani. I think my body was still recovering.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that this was like a flat beach walk, I was thrilled. But no, I was very excited because it's for all the reasons that we've listed.
Yeah.
Right? So we make our way down. It was slightly overcast that day. It was also that way at the Ho Rainforest, but at the beach, like, a lot of the clouds had burned off, and we were getting, like, a lot of moments of blue sky. Still some grayness in the blue sky, but it was
nice. And some mist, too, yeah.
Yeah, mist billowing off the ocean.
Yeah.
We were sort of hoping that we would have some tide pool moments along the beach here. And while there were some hopeful pockets, most of this would come later when we got to Hole in the Wall. But now we're here to talk about my favorite part of this hike,
mm-hmm.
which are the brown pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got my camera with me, and we see coming up ahead some birds in the water. Not sure what birds they are. As we get closer, I'm like, oh my God, it's pelicans. And so I adjust my camera to
sport mode.
Yeah, settings that one might use to shoot sports, things
motion.
That are moving and mm-hmm. motion, because these birds are moving, and there's 100 of them. There's a lot of them.
I don't know about 100, but there's a lot.
There might be like 75
mm-hmm.
pelicans,
mm-hmm.
and they're flying in and out. They're eating, they're swooping down, they're grabbing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're like hanging out in the water, and they are grabbing stuff from tide pools and
that are not totally exposed. Like
no.
They're hunting in areas where there's rocks still like half submerged in water, but like they know that there's stuff happening there.
And so they are just straight up like flying and swooping. And like, I mean, they are the coolest birds I've ever seen
mm-hmm.
because they were like dinosaur like
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they're pelicans.
Na, na, na,
exactly.
Na, na, na,
I mean, it did feel very pterodactyl like. Life finds a way.
Sure does.
So So I sit here and I just like, I am just shooting these birds.
Enthralled.
And I'm like, I'm good here. Right. Mm-hmm. I think you like kept walking a little bit. Like,
yeah,
you took a moment.
I was just like, I'm letting you have your moment. Yeah. Because you'd seen pelicans before on the Gulf Coast, but they are white pelicans, correct? Or what type of pelicans are they?
I had seen some in the harbor in Gulfport, Mississippi, mm-hmm. when I was visiting. Mm-hmm. And yeah, those were white pelicans. Mm-hmm. But yes, I was wearing my Flock with Pride shirt that I have on, mm-hmm. or that I have. And was it Pride Month?
It was still Pride Month.
It was June when we were there?
Yeah, we...
No.
Yes. It was the tail end of June.
Really?
Yeah.
In Olympic.
Yes. We got to Olympic on like the 24th of June, 23rd or 24th. This was only like our fourth day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. It was. There we go. And that is a shirt that's full of color, mm-hmm. and has a bunch of different birds on it. Mm-hmm. And all of the bumblebees in Olympic National Park
thought it was flowers.
They were trying to pollinate my shirt, and mm-hmm. I loved it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there are quite a few people at this beach going back and forth, but it was not like packed full of people, certainly.
Eventually we come to a tree that looks like it is a little bit more recently fallen because it's not bleached yet. It sort of has an amber color. A lot of the branches are off of it, but we basically have to, you know, climb over it to continue on the beach, and it's bulky. As we continue to walk, we can see the Little James Islands behind us are shrinking in the distance, and there are some sea stacks that are off the beach the further out as we continue to walk. So we're starting to see sea stacks like to our left off the shore that aren't close by any means. They're not as close as some of the sea stacks that we saw on Shy Shy by any means. So we continue to hit a little more fallen trees as we're walking. They do sometimes feel like steel girders for buildings that have crashed down or are just rubble. And they also have this feel of animal horns or antlers. It's very, very sculptural. Like, it mm-hmm. feels like Catherine O'Hara's character from Beetlejuice just went to this beach and was inspired to create things as a sculptor.
Mm-hmm. So as we get closer to Hole in the Wall, we get more rocks, we get more sea stacks that are closer to the beach. The formations are sharp and angular. They're pretty tall. At the foot of these formations, and prior to reaching them, there are a lot of smaller rocks. Mm-hmm. And they've started to be exposed by the low tide. And this is when we can start to see some sea life. Mm-hmm. The closer we get to these larger stacks, we can start to walk out onto them and between them as the tide has pulled back. And this gives us a really great view of Hole in the Wall, which is not that far away from where we are now.
No. The rocks we're standing on here are covered in barnacles and lichen and other sea life. This is where we get some of those tide pool moments we were hoping, because the rocks here have dips in them that allow for water to remain and sea life to kind of flourish here when the tide is out.
Yes, and these giant sea stacks, they feel very ominous, mm-hmm. like a gateway to another dimension. Mm-hmm. I do have to say, it started to get a little more crowded with people as we got to this end of the beach.
Because this is like the photo moment.
It's
here.
The photo moment.
Yeah, yeah. We do take some time here to explore a little bit more on like the sea stacks prior to Hole in the Wall. And then we take another short walk down the beach until we reach our terminal point. And with that, let's take our next break.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage.
Pat O'Butter.
That's right. And I think that Pat O'Butter does a double act with Kerry Gold.
Kerry Gold and Pat O'Butter.
That's right. Kerry's
been on the show before.
She has.
She has.
Pat is her sibling.
My sister and I had an act you couldn't top.
However, no. I think to honor the sort of legacy of the name Pat, mm-hmm. I think that Pat is a non-binary drag artist.
Spank queen.
Spank?
Like a Pat.
I don't know about that. I think it's like, yeah, Pat. Oh, but maybe there's a paddle involved.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the merch is paddles with Pat's face painted on them.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like that. So I guess we are leaning into the Spank queen thing. Look at
Listen,
that.
Listen, it takes all types, right?
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah.
And her paddle is called Butter.
Butter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Little Butter is the name.
Pato Butter.
Okay, great. Butter so is the name
of her paddle.
The paddle.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like, yeah, Kerrygold brings the butter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't you use the paddle? So, there isn't there, like, a, like, paddle? Isn't that a term for, like, a... like a kitchen utensil that you would put butter on, like a,
like, oh, I don't know,
to
maybe
spread it. I think it's called a paddle.
To spread it?
Straight up, I do.
Okay.
So there you go. I guess you could have a little butter paddle.
Sure.
Like as the merch,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. What a.
We went wide.
Cross synergizing.
Synergize.
Vertical alignment kind of situation mm-hmm. here with her merch and her
yeah.
everything.
Oh, absolutely.
What music does she listen
I
to?
I like bread and butter. I like toast and jam.
Yeah. What is that? What song is that?
I don't know. It's a song, though.
It is a song. It is a song. Okay, great. Great. I guess that, so that's that song.
Uh-huh. I feel like she's like that sort of like, she might sing, even though it doesn't really drive with her name, but like Mr. Postman, like that era of
like Motown,
like Motown-y kind of like songs about things that are happening in life.
Oh,
like,
okay.
You know, like.
Like car wash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, yeah. Okay. Okay. Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
she might also sing
Yakety Yak.
Yeah, she could also sing Jam Tomorrow and Yesterday, but never ever jam today.
I think that's her 11 o'clock number. Okay. Like that's her mm-hmm. that's her like second
mm-hmm.
her second number.
That's
that
Carol. That's Carol Channing from the Alice in Wonderland film that was made for TV, which is
excellently
actually
done.
It's from the second part, which is Through the Looking Glass.
It is.
Well done, terrifying childhood 80s film.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Oh, yeah.
I watched both of those
mm-hmm.
as a kid growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember then later when I read the books, I was like, oh, these are just that movie I saw.
Remember, oh, they like, were very true to
very
the
true
Lewis
to
Carroll
the original.
Book. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Pato Butter.
All right, so from these sea stacks, it is not a far jaunt over to Hole in the Wall, which we had seen photos of Hole in the Wall mm-hmm. on the internet before.
Mm-hmm.
We finally are now reaching our destination here. It is essentially just a natural archway within a rock fin that protrudes onto the shore.
Yeah.
So it's literally a hole in the wall, but it's like a just, it gives folks a destination to see.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, and this is the spot where everyone is.
Mm-hmm.
It is clear that just like neurotic Michael, that they too, all these folks have paid attention to the tides
mm-hmm.
or they lucked out.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing about this trip. I feel incredibly fortunate that we were able to be here in a time where the tides were in our favor because we did end up having a very stacked day here. And
a
this
staked day.
This is where my neuroticism really came into play because I wanted to make sure the day was a success for us. And it would have been even if we missed something, but I definitely would have been a little pouty about it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
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 So
but
now that
poutier.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now we're out here. It is clear that the tide being so low was going to allow us to do some really good exploring. So the archway itself is really rough and craggy, and it is clear that the bedrock that surrounds it has been worn over time to make all the rocks that we're walking on incredibly smooth.
Yeah, it was like wildly
smooth. So, yeah, which please note when you're taking steps, a dry hiking boot and a rough rock like work really well together,
mm-hmm.
but a dry hiking boot and a
slick,
slick wet, you know,
slick wet rock.
But what's the word I'm looking for?
Surface.
Worn, smooth rock.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't friends
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there are quite a few tide pool moments here at Hole in the Wall, which was great. We do meander around looking at all of them. It was great to get to experience them here, too.
Mm-hmm. So theoretically, you could walk through the archway, but there's enough exposed rock at this time of day that we can walk around the arch and get to see all of the sea life and a lot of plants within the tide pools. I did this, but you pretty much stayed on the one side. You didn't really follow me.
No.
It is slick if you do this, because there's a lot of sea life that's exposed on rocks, and there are bare spots, but you have to be mindful. It is a lot of kelp and seaweed. It's pretty magical. There is this fairly large sea stack that's off the tip of the arch that the whole of the wall is a part of that we could have probably walked out to, but because there's so much plant life here, it does make a lot of the walking treacherous, so you got to be mindful. And there are more tide pools over here. There's so many anemones and other sea life that I was experiencing on this side of the archway, which was I had fully traversed around to the other side. And it's much drier once I got kind of fully around to the opposite side of the hole, but it, you know, is still something that I have to be mindful of as I'm putting my footfall, because I don't want to eat it. Not that it was big drops or anything, but it was craggy enough that I would definitely hurt myself if I, you know, slipped.
Right. So looking through the archway, we are able to see the sea stacks. We were at Pryor, and it gives a really cool, like, feeling of, like, a doorway, right? We definitely got some shots of that. The great photo moment.
You could continue down the beach past Hole in the Wall a little ways, but I don't think it's recommended, and I don't really think you're going to see much of anything else. The main attraction is here at
Hole in the
Wall.
It's Hole in the Wall.
So I come back through the archway at this time instead of around it, and I end up linking back up with you, which was, it was dry enough that you could find a way through. There's a pretty decent pool here that you have to kind of navigate around, but you can get your way through the arch.
We wanted to get back to the car in time in order to go to our third spot of the day, which is featured in our next episode, Ozette Triangle. But before we head down back to the beach, we make another stop at the sea stacks and meander through. These are the sea stacks over here by Hole in the Wall. And after this, we turn and we make a fairly quick trek back to the car. But we make another stop for
the pelicans.
The pelicans. Because, as you all know, my favorite book is The Pelican Brief. My favorite film is The Pelican Brief, starring Julia Roberts
Denzel.
And so I had to see these pelicans, tell them
I
that.
I thought we were doing sexual espionage, like in The Pelican
like
Brief.
Like in The Pelican. That's a 30 Rock reference, everyone. No, but actually, and this was the moment for me that was like, this is where I got all my really good shots
of
birds. Because the light was a little different. There were a bunch of new birds, and they were flying in, like, from above. And so, like, I got some wild shots, which I will share on our Instagram, so be sure to take a look there. And then I'm sure they will be stolen for AI purposes, but yes, we did stop, and it was great, and I did have another moment here with these birds.
And there's more rock exposed out to the water here, and it makes sense as to why the pelicans are hanging out, because they're like, oh, the tide pools are coming for me, and I got a free meal.
Right. So we cross over the giant fallen tree again. We continue down on the beach. We continue on down the beach. And while there was talk of walking out to the point, we were thinking about, like, walking out to the point right there by the parking lot, decided that heading back to the car and getting to Ozette Triangle as quickly as we could was probably our best bet. And that is what we did. All right, so let's put Rialto Beach, like the journey to Rialto Beach to see Hole in the Wall, on the Karen Stone scale.
Okay, I'm going to say...
I'm going to give it a 2.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I'm giving it a 2 because it's a flat walk on the beach.
Okay.
Now, are there things to go over? Sure. Are there rocks that you got to step on? Yeah. But ultimately, it's pretty easy stuff. You know,
see, my guess was, my first inclination was a 4 because of obstacles.
Oh, well.
And that it's not like an accessible thing for a lot of people, won't be able to do it.
It's not. It's not fully accessible by any means.
That's why I was going with 4. I think it's easy, but I think from a perspective of, you have things to meander if you're with a small kid or if you have mobility issues, this is, sand might also just not be your friend. That's why I'm 4. And also thinking about the tides, like, there's a lot to factor in here. It's not impossible by any means, but there's a lot to think about. So.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot to think.
And upon further consideration, I'm sticking to my answer.
Great.
Which is 2, 4, and
upon further consideration, you're a jerk.
So 6 out of 20 Karen Stones.
And now let's end this episode like we end all of our full-length episodes with some Jeopardy-style trivia.
All right, Mike, what Jeopardy-style trivia have you prepared for us today?
I'm going to just title this trivia Holes. And this is all about idioms.
Wait, you got to say it more southern, though.
Holes.
Thank you.
This is all about idioms with the word hole in it, and it's always going to be the second word.
Okay, great. I'm
ready. Okay, all right. For 100, while this phrase may have originally been related to a way for animals to quench themselves, it has now been co-opted to describe a saloon or other such establishments.
What is a hole in the wall?
No.
What is watering hole?
That's correct.
Okay, great.
For 200, this phrase, which may denote a location's dirtiness, lack of order, chaos, or general lack of morality, could be a way that many people describe their job or the country that we now currently live in.
Oh, what is a black hole?
No.
What is a...
Think below the earth.
What is a sinkhole?
Think where you and I are going when we die.
Oh, I don't... I'm going to become a beautiful tree. So, what is a dark hole?
No.
I don't know.
What's a hell
hole? Oh, a hell hole. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. For 300, this phrase may denote the home of a burrowing mammal. It is also something one might fall down if you're digging deeply on the internet.
What is the rabbit hole?
That's correct. For 400, this phrase, while related to what some consider to be flying city vermin, typically means that you are boxed into something or cornered.
What is, well, see, now I want to say between a rock and a hard place, but what is, you said a burrowing.
Nope. This phrase, while related to what some may consider to be flying city vermin, typically means that you are boxed into something or cornered.
A bat hole?
Mm-mm.
But that is the flying city vermin, mm-mm, right? A squirrel hole?
No.
Oh.
Think about rats with wings. What are those called?
My nightmare. Personal nightmare. Come to life. Rats with wings?
Yeah, this is how people describe this type of bird.
A bat.
No, a bat is not a bird.
No, I know.
What is pigeonhole? To be pigeonholed.
Okay. Okay, great. Read that clue again.
This phrase, which denotes the home of a bird. I'm sorry. This phrase, which related to what some consider to be flying city vermin, typically means that you're boxed into something or cornered.
Okay, okay. Rats with wings. Not how I would describe a pigeon.
People do, though.
I don't know those people. Well, I don't know her.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Great. No, but the rest of it, totally, I get why pigeonholed from that.
Mm-hmm. All right, and finally, this phrase is an informal way to describe your mouth, a space where many foods go, even this many-layered dessert.
What is the pie hole?
I'll accept, but I'm looking for the other type.
Cake hole?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm. And that's hole.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's time for my category.
Great.
It is a category called Stately Birds. And we saw brown pelicans on this hike.
Yeah.
And this is all about state birds from across the country.
Great.
Okay, so for 100, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Virginia, West Virginia, and North Carolina all share the same state bird, which may be the reason why the majority of the population thinks that this bird is an apparition or symbol of a dead relative, particularly past grandmothers.
What is a robin? What is a cardinal? Sorry.
There we go. Uh-huh. What is a northern cardinal? Uh-huh. For 200, northern cardinals are often mistakenly called the name of this bird with its red breast, and which is also the state bird of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Connecticut.
Connecticut. What is a robin?
That is right. The American robin. Mm-hmm. Yes. For 300, New York is the only state with this bird as its state bird. And it has a two-word name. The first word refers to the geographic area or direction where they reside. And the second word refers to its color and is a word often used to describe the corvid blue jay.
It's just two words?
Yeah, it's two words. The first one is a directional word.
So what is a northern blue?
Not northern.
What is a southern blue?
No, it's
what is
not
a western
southern
blue.
It ain't that either. What's the other
an
one?
Eastern blue.
It's an eastern blue what?
Jay.
No.
Bird.
Thank you. An eastern bluebird. Some people call blue jays bluebirds, which okay. is, I guess technically they are a shade of blue and they are a bird, but they're not
bats.
Bluebirds. For 400. While Hawaii's state bird is the
Nene.
That's right. Minnesota also features a waterfowl as its state bird. This bird's name could also be synonymized with ordinary idiot or frequent dunce.
What is a loon?
Yes, but what's the other word I'm looking for in front of loon? Ordinary.
What's a normal loon?
Not a normal loon, but sure close. Frequent.
What is a common loon?
Thank you. For 500. While we saw brown pelicans on Rialto Beach at Olympic National Park, it is not the state bird of Washington. That honor goes to, welcome to the stage, Willow Goldfinch. However, the brown pelican's very similar family member, the eastern brown pelican, is the state bird of the southern state.
What is Louisiana?
Correct. And I have a bonus one.
Great.
The state bird of the U.S. Virgin Islands sounds like the phrase you might utter if this long, yellow, tropical fruit kept bothering and annoying you and you wanted it to stop.
Banana owl.
Banana is correct, but you wouldn't say owl if you wanted it to stop. What would you say?
Banana be gone.
A banana be gone is a great idea. The answer is banana quit.
Banana quit.
Banana quit. Banana.
Banana be gone.
Be gone.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.